Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Now, everyone, it's time to get in a circle. We're going to play a game, Carol chirped to a group of four-year-olds gathered for her son Danny's birthday party.
I don't want to be a circle, pouted Penny. I want a balloon.
We'll have balloons in a little while, replied Carol. Now we're all going to get into a circle and play a fun game. Come on, Desmond, she called to a little boy inspecting the dog's food bowl. Matthew and Davy, please don't hit each other. Come over here. We're making a circle. No movement toward a circle from any of the four-year-olds in the group.
Looks like a revolt to me, Carol's husband Craig observed wryly. Maybe they just need to run off a little steam.
Run off steam? You mean run wild, Carol glared at him wide-eyed. That's no birthday party at all. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about giving children's parties? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest is a specialist who works with socializing issues for young children. Wendy Baber is an early childhood specialist with the Jewish Social Service Agency in Metropolitan Washington, D.C. She has extensive training in play therapy. She specializes in working with young children, individually and in groups, who have a variety of special needs, including Asperger's syndrome, other developmental delays, and social-emotional problems such as anxiety, depression, and ADHD. She's also the parent of two little girls, 1 and 3. We're so pleased that you can be with us, Wendy. Welcome to Parents' Perspective.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
What do you see as parents' biggest concern about children's parties?
Well, Linda, parents will have varying concerns about children's parties depending on if they're throwing the party or if their child is the guest. So parents who are throwing parties will have concerns that will range from, do we have enough space in the house? How many people will show up? What will we serve for food? Will we run out of food? And also being concerned as to how they'll entertain the guests, the children, and will everyone have fun. The parents of the children who are attending the birthday party typically are worried about one thing, and that's their children's behavior. They want to make sure that their child will be able to join the activity, that they'll be engaged, and for the kids who act out, that they won't be too overwhelmed, too overexcited. There won't be hitting, pushing, shoving.
Is there a difference when the parents are accompanying the children and when the children are old enough to stay at the party without the parents?
Parents worry more when they're not accompanying their child as to how their child will behave.
What age is that generally when the kids go without the parents?
It can start as young as 3.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's probably a little too young.
What should parents be concerned about?
I think parents are right in being concerned about how their child will behave. There's children who are introverts, and they'll get very overwhelmed by a lot of activity. If things are overwhelming, if there's a lot of confusion, if there's chaos, and they can withdraw, and then those kids won't have fun. And there's also kids that are extroverts that get overexcited by the same things, the same event, the same activity will have them acting out, running around. They can lose control and they can have different behavior even than the parents are used to at home. And the parents throwing the party should be aware of that, that the guests are really just worried about their kids' behavior.
Is preparation important in terms of parents interacting with their children before a birthday party?
Oh, definitely. For the child who can get shy and get withdrawn, I would recommend talking with them about what activities might be going on at the party, how many kids might be there, just to prepare them a little bit so that they know what to expect. And for the kids that tend to act out and get overexcited, I would do the same thing and also maybe come up with a plan, maybe a behavior contract with them, how they can be aware of when they're getting overexcited and some steps they can do to calm themselves down.
Wendy, the guidelines you're giving apply to what ages and how do they apply to different ages?
Children as young as 2 can understand if their parents tell them this is what's going to be happening. Perhaps even younger would understand if a parent said to them, we're going to be going to this party and there's going to be this and that here and then we'll have food and then a cake. If it's explained to the child what to anticipate and what to expect. Older children, you can use more developmentally appropriate language, so you'll be able to explain in more detail or more depth. With a younger child, you would like to keep the language very simple and state without too many details, without making the explanation or the anticipation even overwhelming.
I think if we told my grandson, who's not two yet, that he was going to a party and that we expected him not to run around and be wild, he would forget that as soon as he got there if other children were running around.
You can do lots of reminders during the course of the party. Two-year-olds do forget. They need to hear things over and over and over again. And you need to do lots of constant reminders. So you would remind throughout the course of the party that this is what the behavior we expect of you should be. I know this is really overwhelming. It's really exciting. You would want to acknowledge how they're feeling to help them to get control. And you can even do things like give stickers or stamps, little rewards during the course of the event to encourage the right behavior as you're seeing it.
When parents are planning a party for one of their own children, what kinds of guidelines do you offer them?
I would ask parents to remember that you don't want the party to be too overwhelming. And it's nice to just pick one main activity or event for the party and to have that be the highlight. If you have 5 or 10 different things going on, it can be extremely overwhelming. For young children, they don't know where to look first or what to do first. We were at a party about a year ago, and they had a children's entertainer with music and singing and dancing and balloons. There was a craft project. There was a piñata. There was just so much going on. And there was a table filled with food for the kids and the adults to eat, everything that you could imagine. And the kids were really overwhelmed by it. And they couldn't figure out what to do and where they should be.
There was no order of activities?
It was all going on at once. And so I would advise parents to try and pick one activity and have that be the main event. And it would be okay to have some small backup things. So if it seems like the kids need a little bit of structure or containment, you can pull out one of your backup activities that you had planned, but not to plan on putting everything out all at once for the kids to do.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on children's parties.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Wendy Baber about children's parties.
One detail I'm thinking of is when you see an invitation to a child's birthday party, it usually has a beginning and an ending time, which I think is really important. A child's birthday party doesn't have to be 3 or 4 hours long.
Yes, an hour and a half, 2 hours is a maximum time frame for kids at this young age. And when you put a beginning and an ending time, it also helps people to know that they should arrive as scheduled, especially if you have entertainment or an activity planned. You can guarantee that everyone will be there for that, and everyone can stay through if you're serving food and be present for the cake, and then they can go home. You don't have people arriving during the cake expecting that the party is about to begin.
What about children opening gifts at birthday parties?
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. I've noticed a trend in not opening presents because it can take up to 45 minutes to open presents. And for young children, it just takes away from the having fun and the playing. It also encourages competition between kids to get a gift that will be more special than other gifts that the kids, and also amongst parents. It discourages that kind of competition to wait until later to open the presents when everybody has gone home. With older kids, I understand that they do really feel excited about the present that they got and they want to see the child open it. But with younger children, I've really seen a move away from opening presents at the party.
And then they can open one or two or three at a time, go play for a while, or play with one of those toys and open some more later.
That's true, yes.
Which brings us to the whole business of numbers of presents, numbers of kids. Are there guidelines that you would recommend for numbers of children at birthday parties for young children, for middle school children, and so on.
You know, Sandy, you mentioned to me earlier, and I've heard this same guideline as well, that the age of the child plus one is how many people you should invite to the party. So a three-year-old, you would have four invited guests.
In your experience, has that worked pretty well?
It's hard to keep that number down because if a child is in preschool, it could be difficult to invite some kids from the class, but not everyone. If you have a big circle of friends, if you're a participant in a mom's club and you have a play group that you belong to and there's more than three kids in the group, it could be hard to decide who to select. But it is important to keep that in mind, that the more kids there are, the more people there will be, the more adults there will be. Sometimes on a weekend, you can get two parents for every child. And that's a lot of people, and it can be overwhelming for the children to have that many people around.
It's funny, I was remembering a birthday party that I went to where I think the child was turning five or six. It's a very young child. And the mother wanted to make this the most wonderful birthday party she could ever have made. And so she had an outdoor carnival at their house. And there was stuff going on all over the place, including a pony ride. And this child spent the party in tears because he was so overwhelmed by this amazing amount of stuff that was going on and just felt very off-kilter. And I think we sort of forget where the kid is in the whole constellation of this celebration. How can children participate in planning for their parties?
There's lots of things they can do. Depending on their age, they can help to stuff envelopes as invitations. You can discuss with them who's being invited. They can help to pick out a cake. Maybe if you're not having a really fancy cake done, if you're doing a cake from a wholesale market, you can go to a dollar store and buy some little figures to put on the cake, and that can go along with the theme. They can pick out those figures. And you can talk with them about the day and what's going to happen. They can help to prepare goodie bags also.
Mm-hmm. What's the best way for parents to deal with this syndrome we see of the escalating party, the pressure for more and more elaborate and expensive celebrations?
It's interesting that you bring that up because recently there was an article on CNN.com about people who have spent $10,000 and upwards for children's birthday parties. And
I can't even imagine.
It's a lot of money for a child's birthday party. And I think that the best way to tell parents to deal with it is to tell them don't buy into it, that smaller can be better for young children. It can be more memorable. It can be more fun. It can be simpler. And when you're talking about social skills and behaviors, kids are happier when there's not as much going on. The birthday party itself is exciting enough. Having pizza and having birthday cake is exciting enough. And the other stuff just doesn't need to happen.
I remember when my youngest was having his, I think maybe fourth birthday, something like that. He was quite young, and I was really bemoaning having to do yet another birthday party, having gone through three sons' worth of birthday parties for years and years and years, and I was really worn out, and I didn't want to do it, and I was complaining. And the circle of friends I was talking to included the assistant director of a school, and she looked at me, and she said, "You have a backyard, and it's the fall. Why don't you just have the kids play in the leaves, scoop up a whole bunch of leaves?" So that's what we did, and they had a wonderful time. I was very relieved, and the kids, I think, had sidewalk chalk to do or that kind of thing. And they all had a wonderful time, and it was the most low-key birthday party, and it was a reminder that that's really the best for little children.
One of the things I've seen happen at birthday parties is that people will bring in a clown. They bring all kinds of people, people who bring all kinds of animals and pets and things. And some of that, I'm sure, is wonderful for little children, petting zoo kinds of things. But clowns frighten some children. My niece wouldn't go to birthday parties if she heard there was going to be a clown. Even with her mother, she wouldn't go in.
And that's important for parents who are the guests to know what their child's limits are. And it would be very appropriate to ask of the parents throwing the party in advance, will there be a clown? And if there's a clown, you can politely decline to attend. Talking about these escalating parties, there was a party that I was invited to years ago for a one-year-old. It was a first birthday party. And the party was high tea at the Four Seasons.
Oh.
That might be good for me.
But this was for a one-year-old. And they had the cake, I remember, looked like a wedding cake. It was tiered. It was all adults that were invited. And I just kept thinking to myself, who is this party for?
That's an important tagline for all of us to remember when we're giving a party for a young child or any child. Who is this party for? That's really significant.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of events have you found are most satisfying to young children? We've been talking about a bunch of them, and I'm tending personally to sort of favor participatory but open-ended kinds of things. You know, there are no prizes for pin the tail on something or other or finding this or the one who does this the best or that kind of thing. But what kinds of things have you found work the best?
Well, things that you've mentioned and also going to the park, maybe making a craft. Kids enjoy decorating the cake or decorating cupcakes as the activity, maybe decorating a pizza and then it gets cooked and they eat it. You can have some kind of entertainment. You can have a small petting zoo. You can have a clown or a magician, but keep it simple. So pick one thing and have that be the main event.
It's funny, when I was hearing about all this, I was thinking, boy, an idea for a party if kids are like 3 years old or older would be they could dress up themselves and be whatever it is, maybe make their own circus or make their own whatever.
When my oldest son turned 6, he was into magic, and he had a little magic set, and he wanted to perform magic at his birthday party. He wanted to do a magic show. So I, of course, was thinking, well, if it flops, it flops, you know, so then they can all just play. But he did a little magic show. It was so adorable, and it was very appropriate. His little friends were very patient. They didn't know any more than he knew. So it was a wonderful entertainment. My granddaughter, when she turned 3, of course, was into princesses, which I guess many little girls are when they get to about that age and onward. And so they had Princess Belle come to her birthday party. And Princess Belle, of course, was a lady dressed up like the princess in Beauty and the Beast. I had to learn who the princesses are, having raised sons. I had to go to Toys R Us and ask for a lesson in princesses. But Princess Belle arrived. The children were playing in the playground, and my granddaughter spotted Princess Belle from across the playground. Now, this tends to be a little girl who does not reach out to strangers readily. She came running across the playground yelling, Belle, and she threw her arms around her like she was a long-lost cousin. It was so cute. And all Belle did was play games and sing songs with the children. And they all made crowns so they could all be princes and princesses. And then she was done, but it meant a lot to that little girl.
And it's funny, I remember a birthday party that I think was a lovely birthday party where the older son helped the younger son have a little backyard carnival and made something where you threw a beanbag through holes and everything, but the children helped each other, and that was very significant.
And that's another way you can involve children in the planning of the party.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on children's parties.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Wendy Baber about children's parties. Wendy, could you offer us some tips to remember for middle school-aged kids' parties and for teens, or do you have any suggestions?
My area is really early childhood.
That's fine. You
know. Hide the alcohol. In fact, that's a good rule for parties for small children in case things get too stressful for the adults. Be sure that's not around. One of the things that we have seen and heard for that age range in terms of middle school is to really talk to the other parents and to see what's normal, what's expected. And you hope that what's expected is not the $10,000 birthday party. You hope that it's, in those ages, just a backyard soccer game, or the kids even decorating the cake themselves or making the cupcakes or something like that is another thing where everybody can participate and nobody's out there front and center.
Or sometimes the celebration is one or two best friends going with the child and his parents to a sports event or a theatrical event that that child really wants to go to. And then you go out for a pizza or ice cream or whatever, and that's the party.
I think this rising expectation sometimes gets hold of the kids in middle school. The parents are doing it when the kids are younger, but in middle school it can get hold of the kids. And so the parents need to be the guardians, I think, of what makes sense and what's appropriate.
It does, and it can create a lot of anxiety for the kids. I was talking with someone who went to one of these escalating parties, and in the gift bag, the kids got $50 gift cards to Target and Game Boys in the gift bag. And the children felt very bad about the gifts they had given to the child because, of course, they had not spent that much. And it was a real letdown to those kids. They were uncomfortable with what they had given.
And these are middle school age kids who were aware enough about price and level of economics that they could figure that out. It's unfortunate that parents don't get in the kids' heads before they go off on this stuff. Well, we're speaking about kids of all ages now, young kids, middle school age kids, and so forth. Have you noticed anything that sort of cuts across all the ages that parents need to remember?
Kids can be really overwhelmed at birthday parties. It's exciting. It's a lot of fun. There's food and cake, and there's activities and games. And even kids who are really calm and low-key at home can get wound up at a birthday party. We were recently at a party. There was a four-year-old who was acting out. She was hitting. She was grabbing toys. She was pushing. And the mother kept saying to me, because she knew what I did for a living, this isn't typical. I don't understand. I don't know what to do. I've never seen her this way before. And so we talked about that it was overwhelming for her, and it was okay, and I wish she could help her to calm down. It happens to kids that they get out of control.
Okay, so you have this four-year-old that you were talking about who's out of control, running around. The parent is frantic. What kinds of things would you tell a parent that he or she could do to help diffuse the situation?
They can take a break. They can take the child and step into another room. They can go get a drink of water. They can talk with the child to acknowledge their feelings. I know this is really exciting. This is really a lot of fun, and you're happy to be here. And oftentimes a child having that excitement acknowledged helps them to calm down a little bit. Parents can plan in advance by bringing stickers or stamps that they can use as rewards so that when the child is able to calm down, you can reward that calm behavior and just reinforce it.
There are also some children who are much quieter children who don't like to go to birthday parties. What do you do if you have a child like that, especially once they are in preschool? They're at daycare when they're young, maybe, or preschool, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten. What do you do if you have a child who does not want to go to the parties?
It would depend on their level of anxiety. If they were very highly worried and upset, I certainly wouldn't force them to go. But I would try and talk with them about what it was that was making them worried. Maybe they could go for the beginning of the party or show up for the end. Although I would recommend arriving early and going for the beginning and being the first person there rather than coming into an event that's mm-hmm. already ongoing. It's much easier for children that are anxious and worried and who can become shy to be the first child there because everybody is coming and joining their activity as opposed to coming into an event that's already going on and trying to figure out how to join in.
The other thing I would think, even though the parents who are giving the party are overwhelmed with all the stuff mm-hmm. they have to deal with, is if you have a child that has issues, I would think it'd be good to talk to the host parents just to say, my little one tends to be shy and fearful. Can you sort of be aware of that? And a smart parent, I would think, would look out for that child and say, oh, Johnny, would you help me serve the cupcakes or whatever?
Absolutely, and especially at parties where the parents are not expected to remain.
And I guess the other thing is, if you have a child that has issues on either end of the spectrum, is it okay for parents to say, I'll stay for a while?
Absolutely. Sometimes there's places that host parties where they say only the birthday child's parents can stay. And so if you know that you need to stay for a while to help your child to ease into the situation, it would be all right to ask the parents throwing the party first, do you think it's okay for me to stay?
Wendy, many of our listeners will want to pursue further some of the issues we've been discussing today. What resources do you suggest for them?
There's a couple great websites out there. There's birthdayswithoutpressure.org, which really talks about how to avoid these escalating parties. And they do talk about social skills and behavior in ways that you can help a child to have a party where everybody will have fun and it won't be too overwhelming. A couple other great websites that are out there are AmazingMoms.com and BirthdayPartyIdeas.com. Keep in mind that these websites have ideas that are submitted by anyone. So some of the ideas can be really over the top, but there's a lot of do-it-yourself ideas that will help to plan a nice, fun, exciting but not overwhelming party that the child, who should be the center of the event, will enjoy. And as an aside, there's a great book out there that's a good guide for how to manage some of these challenging emotions and difficult behaviors. It's called You Can't Come to My Birthday Party. It's not really about birthday parties. It's about how to respond when kids act out either verbally or physically against other children or if they get upset. And it's written for preschool teachers and parents. There's tons of anecdotes that are written that take place in preschools, but it's very simply written and accessible to parents as well.
Well, Wendy Baber, you have been tremendously accessible to parents and to all of us who get ulcers when we think of having to give birthday parties or any parties for children. So thank you so much for being with us today. You've been a big help to everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Raising a Successful Child: Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 368 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from our listeners. Our sound engineer is Drew Chapp. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.